I'd like to call the meeting of Rules of Legislative Administration to order. Representative Carlson would like to move the minutes.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative Carlson moves the minutes. Are there any questions? Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no. I'd like to move the proposed calendar for the day for Thursday, May 16th. It is in your packet. Are there any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And thank you. I'd like to welcome Representative Metza, who's here, to the committee. Welcome to Rules. We're going to take up your bill, which is House File 1823. And if you'd like to join us at the table, Representative Metza, find a chair. So I'd like to begin by moving that Rule 2.03 of the Joint Rules be waived for House File 1823. Are there any questions?
Madam Chair.
Representative Dell.
Is that the purpose that this bill is here today, just for that one purpose?
House File 1823 is here for a hearing.
For a hearing. Just for your information, we just received an engrossed copy of this bill right now as we adopted the committee report on the House floor. That has not afforded time to offer any amendments or draft any amendments to this bill.
Speak up a little bit, please.
So, you know, from our perspective...
How louder that means.
Thank you, Governor.
Thanks, Representative Earhart. We'll all speak up just a little bit louder. All right.
So, you know, from our perspective, the minority would like to have an opportunity to at least, you know, see the language and have an opportunity to draft and offer amendments to the current language of the bill. So I don't know how you would propose to rectify that, but maybe we can hold it over and have the hearing later on today.
Just one moment, please. Carlson.
If I might offer a comment, and
please,
of course it'll be your decision, but it was my understanding that it was referred from Government Op to Rules with the idea being that it would be re-referred to Ways and Means, and so throughout the process there's going to be an opportunity for further discussion, but my thought here this morning was that the main order of business would be re-referral to keep the bill going, because it does have to stop in Ways and Means.
Thank you, Representative Carlson. Members, what I'd like to do is proceed. The bill got its first hearing last night in GovOps, and I understand that there were two amendments made. There were a number of amendments prepared, but only a couple that were heard and offered, and I'm wondering if Mr. Shepherd would be willing to walk the committee through that. So we understand. The bill itself, House File 1823, has been posted for a number of days, and so I would like to proceed, Representative Dell. Please proceed.
Madam Chair, the problem is it was amended a couple of times last night by GovOps. One of those was a delete all amendment. I think the paper might still be warm. And as you see the date there, May 14th, adoption of the report, we just adopted the committee report from GovOps today on the floor. This is an engrossed version. Like I said, I think the paper is still warm. We'd like to have an opportunity to review the language and draft amendments if we choose to do so, and I think that's a reasonable request. The House rules require that constitutional amendments come before the Rules Committee for a hearing, and I think that this is the appropriate place for that to happen and for amendments to happen. I know that Ways and Means is another stop for this bill. However, it is not custom and usage of this body to offer, well, I know we've done it a few times this session, but I think it's the understanding of everybody that it's not the custom usage of this body to do amendments on policy and Ways and Means. So I think this is the appropriate place to do it, but obviously we've had an engrossed version for about 10 minutes, so I think it's a reasonable request to ask that we hold this over and have a hearing at a later time in this committee.
I appreciate the request and your argument, but I would like to proceed this morning knowing that the bill has been posted. There are minor changes that Mr. Shepherd can walk us through, and there are more stops for this piece of legislation. And while I understand that Representative Carlson has been using his discretion about amendments in Ways and Means, it is not uncommon that there are pieces of legislation that are amended in Ways and Means. I think I've participated in the past as a bill's author, and I, as he is sitting at the end of the table nodding, it looks as though that I am correctly reflecting our custom and usage.
Madam Chair, that's absolutely correct, and that's true under the leadership of both caucuses, and we did a little research on that question, and I'll be happy to share it with the minority leader, the history of amendments in Ways and Means under Knobloch, under Holberg, and myself. So that is true. We do use some discretion because it is usually the last stop before a bill hits the House floor, and that's the purpose. But I'll be happy to share with you that history.
Thank you, Representative Carlson. Mr. Shepherd, would you be willing to join us at the table?
Madam Chair and members, Mark Shepherd from the House Research Department.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Shepherd. And I'm wondering if you could walk the committee through the changes to Representative Metz's bill in the government operations hearing last night.
Sure. Madam Chair, there was an amendment offered in the Governmental Operations Committee that made some changes in the proposed language of the Constitution. One of the changes was to clarify what happens if there is an odd number of congressional districts. The bill, as originally drafted, required that there be equal split in Democrat-Republican membership on the Compensation Council. And if there were an odd number, that wouldn't be possible under the original bill. So the first engrossment that you see in front of you now requires that in addition to a member from each congressional district, there would be an at-large member appointed by the governor and the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and then it maintains the requirement for an equal split between the two largest political parties. Also, the language that you see at the bottom of page one of the first engrossment that says that none of the members of the council may be current or former legislators or lobbyists was added in the amendment in the Governmental Operations Committee. There was a change in the date by which the council must prescribe salaries. It's on page two, lines one and two of the first engrossment. The council must prescribe salaries by March 31st of each odd-numbered year, with any changes to take effect on July 1st of that year. And finally, there was a separate amendment offered. It's reflected on page 2, line 7 of the first engrossment. The word independent was added before citizens only in the question that would be presented to the voters.
Are there questions for Mr. Shepherd? Representative Anderson?
Not for Mr. Shepherd.
Are there any questions for Mr. Shepherd? Thank you, Mr. Shepherd, for joining us at the table. I really appreciate it. I'd like to renew my motion that Rule 2.03 of the Joint Rules be waived for House File 1823. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Metza, can you tell me when you first introduced this bill?
Representative Anderson, if we could just deal with the motion and get the bill before us, and then we'll have plenty of time for questions, I'd be real grateful.
Okay,
Thank
sounds
you.
Good.
Is there any other discussion to the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Or say no.
No.
And that motion is adopted, and I would move then that House File 1823 be passed, and it's going to be referred to Ways and Means, which puts the bill before us. And Representative Metza, welcome to the committee, and I'm wondering if you'd just like to give us a little bit of an explanation about the bill and why you're here, and then we can take questions.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House File 1823 is basically a constitutional amendment. Chief Justice appoints eight folks, and the governor appoints eight folks, kind of like Mr. Shepard just went through. But what this would do is form a committee that would basically deal with our salaries and take that power away from us as legislators and turn it over to that citizen. So that's it in a nutshell. I'm sure we'll be having lots of questions today, so I'll keep my intro short.
Thank you, Representative Metza. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Metza, when did you first introduce this bill?
A few weeks ago.
Can you give me the date?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
So beyond the deadline.
Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, so beyond the deadline, I take it.
I believe it was, yes.
Okay, Madam Chair, Representative Metza.
Anderson.
So you introduced this bill after the deadline. Did we actually waive it then? Did we have a time where we came back here to the House rules to allow it to be introduced? Because don't we have a rule? I'm trying to remember. One of the rules that we have that we actually have to waive the rules now because there's a deadline for introductions.
Representative Anderson, in the rules we have the ability to limit bill introductions, but we haven't invoked that rule.
Okay. All right. Great. And Madam Chair?
Representative Anderson.
Representative Metza, have you gotten the fiscal note for this?
Representative Metza.
No, I have not, but it's my understanding that it would cost between $2,000 and $3,000.
Okay. And Madam Chair?
Representative Anderson.
Representative Carlson, will there be a fiscal note for the Ways and Means Committee hearing before we actually hear the bill?
Representative Carlson.
I'm hopeful that there will be one. Constitutional amendments have, as the author indicated, fall into that category of, I forget exactly what the rule says, but it's something like minimal fiscal impact, and we've used in Ways and Means a number of 2,000, tax committee uses 5,000, if I recall correctly. So it may, in fact, fall in that category where fiscal note would not necessarily be needed, but we may have one this evening.
And Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Representative Metza, I assume that when you request the fiscal note, though, you also include the cost of having this group together, because I am assuming that you're probably going to be offering per diem or something to that effect, or is that not the case?
Representative Metza.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, Representative, that would be what we'd expect, is to get a fiscal note for that.
So, Madam Chair,
Anderson.
Representative Metza, can you point to me where in your bill you're actually allocating per diem, or is that in a separate piece of legislation?
Representative Metza.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are a couple different ways that we could handle it. One would be back here at the legislature. The second could be the, you know, Governor and Chief Justice kind of laying out some rules. My guess is, though, that we'll be discussing a lot of the committee that's formed. If there are appointments back here at the Capitol after it's formed to lay some groundwork for how they operate.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Representative Carlson, I would love it if for the Ways and Means Committee we actually have then the cost that is going to be incurred to the state, not just for having the constitutional amendment, but we also should have data available to the Ways and Means Committee members about what is the cost going to be to the state on an ongoing basis if we're going to be offering per diem and reimbursement of expenses, what actual legislative body is going to be staffing this, because I'm assuming that they're going to have staff, how many FTEs that we're going to be adding to this council, and of that nature. Is that going to be part of the hearing that we have in Ways and Means?
Representative
Madam Chair, I think what you're describing there, when constitutional amendments have been historically passed, if they pass, there is enacting legislation that takes place following the passage of the amendment, and the questions that you're asking would be addressed through the legislative process. Things like paying of per diem and so on are not part of the constitutional amendment per se. So if it passes, that would be the work of the next legislative body to determine whether or not per diem would be offered, and if so, through what state agency. I assume probably something like this probably would be Department of Administration, and it would be handled through the state government finance division at that point in time.
Well, Madam Chair and Representative Carlson, I would expect, though, when we come to Ways and Means, that we actually have that information available to us, because otherwise we're not making an informed decision. Then we are going to be passing out of that committee a constitutional amendment that has further fiscal implications for the state if it is passed by the citizens of the state. And I think that's something that the citizens of the state also need to have as information before they actually vote on this, of this is how much this is going to cost you on an ongoing basis. Otherwise, if that's not part of the constitutional amendment language, we're asking the citizens to vote on something without having full knowledge of the impact that it's going to have on our state budget. So I'm making that request right now, Representative Carlson, if we could have that for the Ways and Means Committee
Chair,
before we
start. Representative Carlson. I think I've answered the question in terms of the history. We can answer that question again tonight. I would point out that we do have a compensation council currently that makes recommendations. Oh, we do have a this is kind of dumb. We do have a compensation council that currently functions and makes recommendations, but then they would have to be enacted by the legislature. The difference here is that it would remove the legislature, and this new council would have basically more authority than the current council does, but I assume that we are already incurring some costs with the current council, but we can take a look at that for this evening.
Perfect. And Madam Chair?
Representative Anderson.
Representative Carlson, you said that we're going to be having this Ways and Means Committee hearing tonight on this bill. Was that posted anywhere?
Yes, it was.
Representative Carlson.
Madam Chair, yes, it was posted, and we posted it, if I recall correctly, last Saturday, I think, and it said pending referral from the Rules Committee.
Perfect.
But it's been posted for several days.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just, I think I'm the only member of this committee that's on government operations on the CFL side. Representative Patman and Representative Sanders were there last night. I think we had an extensive debate there. There were amendments offered. My amendment was the one that was on independent, which I had drafted in time for that meeting. I think it was the A-10 amendment. So there actually were nine others, I think, that were drafted and either not presented or not offered. On the issue of compensation, I think, and Mr. Shepherd can correct me if I'm wrong, but we'll look at recent history. We passed the Legacy Amendment, and the Upper Heritage Council was passed in statute after we passed the Constitutional Amendment. So there's a precedent. I think my memory is correct. We had a conference committee on the Constitutional Amendment right up to the very end of the 2007 session, and then in 2008 we passed the enabling legislation. So we're in the same model. I remember correctly, we didn't talk about the cost of the Constitutional Amendment, but we did last night in government operations. Somebody asked these very same questions of how much does it cost, and I believe it was Representative Raskowski who said it was between $2,000 and $3,000. So just want to get some context.
Thank you, Representative Hansen, for the update of the work that was done in government operations related to the jurisdiction of the bill and that committee. Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Anderson, I'm not sure if I understood your line of questioning. Was it your suggestion that if the constitutional amendment did not prohibitively prescribe any alternative items of value or compensation for members, that would necessitate that would impact a fiscal note?
Representative Anderson?
Madam Chair, Representative Lesh, I was asking the question of, in this, we are actually creating a council. And in the council, you're going to have FTEs. You're also going to have, I assume that they're going to have some per diem reimbursement for the citizen council that's going to serve on it. They are also going to have just miscellaneous expenses. And so my question was, is what is that fiscal cost, separate of actually hosting the constitutional amendment, which Representative Metza and Representative Carlson had highlighted what that cost is. But we also need to know, what is the ongoing cost going to be, so that when citizens actually vote on this, they are also informed about, this is going to cost you on an ongoing basis X amount of dollars. So this is money that is going to be taken out of the state budget, out of the state general fund to pay for this.
Okay, but Representative Madam Chair and Representative Anderson, specifically with related to the council itself.
Correct.
Is that right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just have to say that I think that the timing of this is very poor, and it doesn't do a service to the people of Minnesota. It doesn't say on this bill, but I believe the timestamp, when I looked last night on the original bill, said that the bill was drafted sometime in January. And I just feel like this is something that we should have really looked at during the normal committee process. The bill, I actually got notification on Saturday night at 5:40 that the bill was being posted, and that still isn't even 3 days, which is, of course, our goal. And I just think it's a mistake to put this forward at this time, the end of the year, when we're in the middle of all these different budget discussions. We're doing some very big policy changes, such as the gay marriage bill, that obviously has taken up a lot of time, space in the press, and so I just feel like this is not the time to do this. I don't know that the citizens are aware of what's going on because of all the other things going on, and I'm just disappointed that we couldn't look at this perhaps next year and look at it and be more transparent and open in the public arena, so that people could come and really get a sense of what we're looking at doing here.
Thank you, Representative Pepin. Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I read this correctly, the salaries that are forthcoming have to be appropriated by the legislature. Am I correct there?
Representative Metza.
Madam Chair, Representative Earhart, you're referring to the Compensation Council salaries, I assume?
No, I don't think so.
Representative Earhart.
I think we're looking at recommendations being we have any wrong be submitted from the council, and then the salary recommendations we're done in the council and take back if an appropriation of money to pay the recommended salaries is enacted after the recommendations are submitted. In effect, you're going to be raising your salaries here in one way or another. So why are we going through this? Why don't we just get the hair necessary, or the guts necessary to vote for our salary increases, if we could do that. If we can't, do it this year, whenever. Whenever you get enough people that should be looking at their realistic parts of life, and that we're all underpaid and are willing to work for our salaries, instead of fiddling with something which you're going to be doing the same thing anyway.
Representative
Metza? Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Earhart, well, I think, you know, the perception out there right now, at least in my district, and I'm sure many of you are experiencing the same thing back home, the Senate, in fact, has voted on a pay increase, and I think we're lumped up into the same group with that. And so, you know, I know there's been discussion about wanting to push this. I've been asking leadership since I got it from Representative Hansen, who was the original author, which was about, 3 weeks ago, to get this moving, because my neighbors have been bothering me while I'm raking, asking why I thought it so fit to vote myself a pay raise. And I thought, well, I haven't yet, and seeing as my neighbors who actually kind of know me, I think I'm doing this, we might as well, in my mind, try to fast-track something like this that's been out there in discussion in a bipartisan way and actually passed bipartisanly out of this legislature back in 2008. And so, you know, Representative Anderson, I do think that we have had proper time in the public to look at this and discuss it. I think it's been an ongoing discussion for the past 4 years, and that today we're open, we've waived the amendment rules. I want to get this bill in the same shape it was in 2008 to pass bipartisanly, and that's why I'm here. I guess I'll ask for another question, but Ron, thank you for the intro of that.
Representative Moline.
Representative Metsa, is there anything in this language that precludes the Compensation Council from recommending a decrease in legislative pay for either representatives or senators?
Representative Metsa.
Madam Chair, Representative Moline, no, there's not. They could also give us a decrease if they didn't see we were, or didn't feel that we were doing our job.
Thanks.
Representative Dean.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Metsa, and just two questions. One of these, first question is posed a little bit before, but just why this seems like a rational idea that people have talked about around the country. Some states are looking at doing this, some are not. I think that it's better that we vote, as Representative Earhart says, up or down on our salary increases if we think that's a good idea. But obviously, other people disagree, and you're one of them. Why this year and not next year? Is it other than that your neighbors who are kind of poking around asking you, what about a salary increase? Are there people outside of the building, advocates? Are there other people that said that if you don't get this moving this year as opposed to next year, that there's an impossibility that this will pass? Or are there other reasons for doing it this year rather than next year, even taking up time right now before we have any of our budget bills passed?
Representative Metsa.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Dean, you know, in looking at it, I think that, again, we've had the debate publicly, and, you know, past few years, I really think that getting it on the ballot, or at least passing on the House this year, as you know, being on many other committees where bills don't make it through, if we continue to go through the committee process next year, we'll have a bunch of stuff coming up. I'm sure this could be on the agenda. This is something that the Senate did pass. However, this year, our constituents all over the state are talking about our pay increases, whether they, you know the details and facts about it or not. I look at this as an extension of that conversation as well, and the potential for us to have the discussion with the public, vetting it over the next break to the next session, and that would be ample time to get the public input, and then we could come back and address, you know, potentially some of the changes that they would like to do next year if the Senate hasn't taken action.
Madam Chair.
Representative Dean.
And I appreciate that, Representative Metsa, and the rules do make it difficult to pass bills, not easier to pass bills. Rules are there to make it more difficult to pass bills. That's why I think it's a good idea to follow the rules when we can. I think that with the public's justified frustration with the way things are going, I think that it's perhaps maybe a better idea to follow the rules with bills like this rather than to make exceptions for the rules. One other question I have for you, Representative Metsa, is that in the ballot initiatives recently, the Secretary of State Ritchie has sought to intervene and change the wording of the constitutional amendment put on the ballot. Have you had discussions with the Secretary of State, and has he approved this particular wording of the question? And what has your conversations been with them, if any?
Representative Metsa.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Dean, I haven't had a personal discussion with the Secretary of State yet. I know that the author, Senator Ekin, in the Senate side, has been working with many different parties involved, and I think maybe Representative Hansen may be able to contribute to that conversation, but I have not personally heard from him on it.
Thank you, Representative Metsa. Representative Sanders.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I guess maybe my question, first question, maybe be to you: is it your anticipation that we pass this off the House floor this year? Is this why we're moving, in my opinion, so quickly on this bill? Three hearings in 2 days, just introduced last week. What's you know, you're the leader of your caucus, and what is your intention with this House file?
I anticipate that we will take it up on the floor this week and send it over to the Senate.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome, Representative Sanders.
I, as someone who sat through the hearing last night, I think a little bit of caution is needed with an idea, in particular this bill. There are some good ideas, but I think it deserves a lot more discussion. We had a lot of discussion, agreement on both sides of the aisle, that this is not ready, and that, you know, this language right now deals with just salary. And a lot of discussion was held, what about all the compensation, reimbursements, how is that going to work? Is that still on the legislative side of things, per diem, healthcare, mileage, telecom, what? On down the list, if we're going to have a compensation council, should they do with more than just looking at one slice of the pie, which is just the salary? Should they have all those responsibilities? And if not, why not? And if not, why are we abdicating just this responsibility and none of the others? And I think we all know that raising or lowering per diem can be just as politically sensitive as salaries. And I think that there is a lot of distrust by the public when you look at what are per diems used for, and why are per diems there, and why do we not have to go through expense reports and so on. And I know that there's lots of good reasons, and we talked about some of those in GovOps, but should this council be looking at those issues? Another thing that this bill does is it enacts into law a change in salary during the middle of the term for legislators. In the middle of the term. Is that something that we want to... Is that appropriate? Another discussion that we need to have. There's a lot going into this that we are running through this body extremely quickly. And obviously we can send this over to the Senate, but the Senate has not yet had a hearing on this bill. So, you know, there's another session next year. I think we should take our time, really debate this. I know the public has talked about pay raises, but what are the responsibilities of a compensation council? What does that really look like? Do we want them making decisions, releasing those March 31st, having them go into law in the middle of term in July? I think all things that this body needs to discuss, take some time and chew on before we put something like this into the Constitution.
Thank you. Representative Moline?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to Representative Dean's question as far as the court challenges go, one thing that did result in Secretary of State bringing those court cases that he lost both of them, yeah, is that we have very recent and clear case law on what the legislature can put forward as far as language goes on a constitutional amendment. And I think the court decided the legislature has a pretty wide latitude. Which is why the Secretary of State wasn't successful in his court challenges. So there's very recent case law on the language proposed in the constitutional amendment. But I also think, members, as Representative Metz has stated, you know, there is nothing in here that precludes the Compensation Council from decreasing legislative pay. And so, you know, we need to look at that side of the coin, too. And, you know, as Representative Sanders stated, is, you know, it could have a big impact on legislators in the middle of their terms to have their compensation either increased or decreased, as would be the recommendation of the Compensation Council. So I just want to make sure that members are aware of that.
Representative Benson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Moline just discussed the court cases, which was my point. And I think the courts ruled clearly that the prerogative is with the legislature, not with the Secretary of State. That was a very clear ruling. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Benson. I want to thank you, Representative Metza, for bringing this here. And, you know, I think because you are a first-termer and younger than I am, anyhow, that it is
very
appropriate
slightly.
That you're very slightly, thank you very much for that, appropriate that you are carrying this. And I will tell you, since the very start of the session, I've had members from both parties come and talk with me privately about the idea of a salary increase or pay increase for legislators. And I won't out anybody, but I think there is an issue with the legislature and salary, and it's something I know I've experienced as I've worked to try and urge people to run for the legislature, and I think that's probably true for both caucuses. I am very uncomfortable, personally opposed, I would say, Representative Earhart, to the legislature raising its own salaries, especially when we are balancing the budget and we still have a deficit that needs to be repaired and we're going to pay back our schools. And that, for me, should be the first order of business for the legislature. But I do think we have an issue. And so, Representative Metza, your legislation takes this question out of the hands of the legislature and allows a different process, not dealing with things like Representative Sanders suggested, per diem, or housing, or mileage. Those are dealt with the legislature. That can be dealt with differently. But the salary is set, is described or prescribed in the Constitution. And because it's done that way, and if we want a different independent body to do it, we need to change the Constitution, which is the purpose of this. And if we want people like Representative Metza, or members who have left us, like Representative Kath or Representative Hosh, who have young families and found it difficult to stay in service in the legislature, we have an issue to address in the future. I just think it is smart for us to take the question out of our hands, because it becomes, I think, a problem for us moving forward, which is why I support your bill, and I'm glad you brought it forward. Are there any other questions for Representative Metza? Representative Hoppe.
Madam Chair, I think whether we do it in this bill or not, I think it's incumbent upon all of us to address the issue of per diem, because when we talk about Representative Metza's neighbors raking leaves or anybody else, in this day and age, when we just get a blank amount of money, in some cases not taxed, and don't have to turn in receipts, and don't have to say what it's spent on, that's not transparency, and that's not what anybody else in the real world has to deal with these days. And I think whether we do it here now or sometime in the near future, we better be addressing that issue, because it contributes to a lack of trust in the legislature when we're doing this with our salary, and on the other hand, we regularly mess around with our per diem, which...
We haven't done this term.
I understand that, Madam Chair, but... and both parties have done it, and we all get, to one extent or another, per diem, but it's something that I think people look at as something of an anachronism these days, and it's something that this legislature and this committee in particular should be giving great consideration to.
Thank you, Representative Hoppe. Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think one of the issues I have is transparency, and we're not only talking about it. I see everywhere in here we've scratched out compensation. And our compensation is not just salary or per diem. It's our benefits. It's health insurance. It's retirement dollars that are put into our retirement fund. So, by complete transparency, I don't understand why we have narrowed this focus down to that level. And as far as the process and the integrity of the process, I think everyone in this room understands my frustration with the process, because now we've once again suspending Rule 2.0 to hear a bill that did not meet deadline. To date, we have not done that bipartisanly. We have only done that partisanly. And I'm discouraged with that. I would like us to see, I'd like a roll call on this vote, so the public understands that we are doing this once again about in the double-digit bills now.
Thanks, Representative Kelly. And I just, for the record, want to be clear that we are following the rules. We have the ability to waive the rules. I understand the minority's perspective on that, that you wish we weren't doing it the way we're doing it. I get that. But it needs to be clear and on the record that we are indeed following our rules and the processes prescribed by our House rules and by the joint rules. Are there any other questions? Seeing none, then I will renew my motion that House File 1823 be passed and be referred to Ways and Means. And there's been a roll call requested. Emily, if you could call the roll, please.
Yes. Representative Murphy.
Aye.
Representative Albright.
No.
Representative Anderson.
No.
Representative Benson.
Aye.
Representative Carlson.
Aye.
Representative Doubt.
No.
Representative Dean.
Nope.
Representative Earhart.
Aye.
Representative Hansen.
Yes.
Representative Hillstrom.
Aye.
Representative Hoppe.
No.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Kelly.
No.
Representative Lencheski.
She step out?
Yep, okay. Representative Lesh.
Aye.
Representative Lilly.
Yes.
Representative Loon.
No.
Representative Moline.
Aye.
Representative Norton.
Aye.
Representative Plowski. Representative Pepin?
No.
Representative Purcell?
Aye.
Representative Sanders?
No.
Representative Torkelson?
No.
Representative Ward?
Yes.
Representative Zellers?
No.
There being 13 ayes and 11 noes, the motion is adopted. Representative Dill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just wanted to address with you the situation that transpired on the floor earlier. I did ask you to yield for a question.
You did.
And asked if we would be taking up any conference committee reports today, which you answered that question with no.
I answered the question with I didn't anticipate it, and then I revealed to you that I made a mistake. For the record.
Yeah, I think the problem comes in with, and obviously the speaker came down and told me that the plan was to take up the Energy Conference Committee report today on the floor. The problem comes in that we've let the public and all of the people in the hallways believe that that will not be happening. So I think we have a bit of an issue with transparency, and I think proceeding with that bill at this point will be problematic.
Thank you, Representative Delt. And I hope that as we talked on the floor, you'll let your caucus know.
I certainly will.
Thank you.
But,
I appreciate it. Yes.
But
my worry
isn't about my caucus. My worry is about the public and other people outside of this building that would be interested in that bill coming before the body. And I know that conference committee report was posted at 1:30 in the morning last night. Obviously, something that everybody on both sides of the aisle have said is important to them is transparency, and unfortunately in our first major conference committee report on omnibus bills that make up the state's budget, I don't think that we should trip over our own feet and make a big mistake on the very first one. So
I'm grateful, Representative Dowd, that my answer to your question on the floor isn't the only way that the public gets information about the bills that we're hearing on the floor. There are other ways that they get at that information, gratefully. Grateful to, you know, our public information office. And we will clarify that today when we get back to the floor, so anyone who is listening understands, and we'll use our other means of communication. And it is always, you know, embarrassing for me when I make a mistake. It happens because I'm a human. We all do. And so, you know, I appreciate you calling it to the room's attention. Thank you.
That wasn't my intention to call the mistake to the attention. I just want to make sure that we're correcting it in the right way, and I want to be on record as saying that I think the proper way to proceed is to do what we've indicated to the public that we will do, which is not take up any conference committee reports today. We certainly can take this one up tomorrow.
Well, Representative Dell, let's recall that in your question to me, my answer was I didn't anticipate it. But the proper way to notice the public is not by your question to me on the floor. So, you know, the proper way to notice people are the means that we already use, and those are intact. Are there any other questions? Representative Metza.
I just wanted to leave with one statement, which is on our next stop at Ways and Means, I'd like to welcome any amendments that you might have and would be open to discussing them at length with you, should it be the will of the chair to do the same.
Thanks, Representative Metza, for coming to the Rules Committee. We are in recess.